Welcome to this edition of Quest Point in the Mix. I'm your host, Richard Andrews, and I am really honored today and pleased today to have a true pioneer. This program is all about talking to people who are doing interesting things and who have made a difference out there. And one of those people here today with us is Lewis Griggs. Lewis Griggs is truly a pioneer in the area of diversity training. He's a veteran of more than 25 years of experience. Since the company started in 1983, Griggs Productions in San Francisco, they have worked with more than 6,000 corporations, educational institutions, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies, helped them to recognize and value cross-cultural diversity among human resources within our organizations. And in response to the reality of the quickly growing demographics in North America, Griggs and 50 corporate sponsors produced the 7-part award-winning Valuing Diversity video series. That was followed by the 3-part Valuing Relationship video series, and later by the 6-part Human Energy at Work video series. Thereafter, Lewis Griggs, or Griggs Productions, segued into the interactive multimedia learning market and produced No Potential Lost, a 3-part interactive CD-ROM series reinforcing his company as a leader in the training tool development field. Griggs then produced the subsequent intranet e-learning program, The Potential Is Yours, so as to reach all employees at the lowest cost. Griggs is currently in production of a new training tool called Human Spirit at Work. When he isn't editing his work, Griggs gives presentations about the bottom line impact of individual and cultural differences at seminars and conferences within organizations of any size. Lewis, can you tell us what your new program, Human Spirit at Work, is all about, and a little bit about how you got into this field?
Sure, Richard. Thank you for having me on. And by listening to your introduction, it helped me realize that the best way to describe the current product is as an evolution from the prior ones. For example, I actually started before the Valuing Diversity series with a series called Going International, because as a Stanford MBA doing international business, I discovered that my own cultural ignorance of cultures around the world was so deep, the word is ethnocentrism, that I needed to learn how to relate these cultures better. And so my whole process started on this more external level of language and culture and body language and how to communicate with Japanese and Arabs and Mexicans and everybody outside of North America. And then after doing that, I realized that my ethnocentrism was so deep that it might actually be impacting me here at home with anybody different than I. And so I created the series Valuing Diversity to deal with that. And then Valuing Relationship, going a little deeper still to figure out how do we relate effectively, all of us, to one another's differences. And then the series Human Energy at Work, as soft as it sounds, in a way is even deeper, because I realized that just relationship skills and even greater valuing of each other's differences wasn't as effective as just being able to notice the energy within self and within other and between self and other, getting either enhanced or depleted by how we're relating would help us be better able to develop the whole self and our whole team much more effectively with consciousness about human energy. And then, as if that doesn't sound soft enough, Human Spirit at Work is, of course, even deeper and more at each of our core than just our human energy. And so my next series is going to talk about that, because to get into how I got started in this career, my real truth that I never used to speak about is that it took a near-death experience and consciousness of my spirituality and yours and all of ours really being from one source that helped me realize that we are all one as human spirits, if you will. We are all one. And that we land in the only DNA that's ever existed in the history of life on Earth, and therein and therefrom comes all of our diversity of age, race, gender, culture, language, religion, education, weight, looks, etc. So we are simultaneously one and uniquely different, each of us. And human spirit at work is going to help us understand that since we're really one, it ought to be much easier to value each other's differences in our common goal in whatever team we're operating in.
Well, when you say the word human spirit and the word spirit as it relates to the workplace, I mean, does that mean that you're talking about bringing some kind of religious value into the workplace or spirituality? I mean, how does a company really tap into human spirit at work?
Well, it's a great question. And believe it or not, since I've always been on my own growing edge, trying to learn whatever I need to learn to get it more deeply, not just the leading edge, arrogantly thinking I'm leading anything, I'm just doing my own work.
Okay.
A similar question was asked when I came up with the words, you know, 20 years ago, valuing diversity, because both my brothers and yours said to me, wait a minute, if you think we can go into the workplace and have our differences be valued, you don't get it. And so with regard to this concept, your question's good, because the hope among some and the fear among others is that I do mean something religious. And I need to convey to both those who hope it and those who fear it, the answer is no. And I learned in my own near-death white light experience, we really are one and come from the same source, and I promise you that up there, there are not different religions fighting each other. And that the actual origin and essential core of every religion and every indigenous group sitting in a circle on the land, whatever their melanin, is not a religion. It's a spirit, a spiritual essence at the core of each. And then each religion gets righteous enough to think the other's wrong enough to even want to kill it. But the truth is that this is not about religion. It's about human spirit, and yes, spirituality, but people mean different things by that, so I even have to be careful. It's about the essence of being human, which we all have in common, and which therefore, once we respect and value and feel that we are one at the core, whether you believe the white light version of where it comes from, or whether you don't, and you just get that we're one human race, in either case, I think it's downright spiritual to recognize we are one before we deal with all of the ways in which we are different and which can be valued toward whatever common goal we have.
So you've been saying then that in order for businesses to be more effective, have the potential of their organization maximized, that having some sense of connection to that person, their spirit, their essence, is significant to the development of that business or that organization or that agency or that educational institution.
Yes, it's in fact critical, because without that, in my opinion and in my experience and your experience and all of our experiences, all too often, if there is not a connection with the human spirit, when you look eye to eye and see the real human within, instead of just being biased by the age or race or gender or ethnicity or religion or looks or weight or education or whatever else, then all too often the whole relationship is based only upon legal or behavioral compliance, fairness, equity, being nice to each other, tolerating each other. And doing all that because we've got to work on this together. And that is not as deep and therefore not as potentially integrated and whole and systemic a relationship as it can be if we realize first we are one and we have a common goal here on this team. And so all of the differences that we each bring to the table can either be in this particular case, the ones that can be ignored as irrelevant, like what you're wearing or what I'm wearing, or are they the differences that can actually be valued as gifts that we each bring toward this teamwork and toward this common goal?
You were, you know, really an early pioneer in this diversity movement, consciousness, whatever we want to call it. And here we are today, you know, dealing with a new movement, a new consciousness, although it may not be new to some of the early adopters. I'm talking about the, you know, the green movement, the consciousness, you know, going green. And I'm curious, how do you see this program, Human Spirit at Work, dovetailing, interacting with the green movement?
I had actually never thought of that until you asked. And as you ask, I found myself thinking that just like Spirit at Work sounds too soft to some people, I hope this doesn't sound too soft to you, but since the green movement had its origins talking about what is environmentally green and grows naturally instead of synthetically, and it's expanded to all the forms of whatever is natural and authentic, I actually love feeling that at the core and the essence of all of those existences is what I call spirit, human spirit or energy, the real natural essence of all of life. And it is that which is at the core of each of us. And clearly it is that, the very same that, whatever you want to label it as, which is at the essence of all different aspects of the entire, what you call green movement. So I think it's great to link them, since spirit's the core of it all.
Well, how did you originally come to this career, to this field? I know that that you and some other notable people in the Bay Area and throughout the country held the first National Diversity Conference here in San Francisco, and that was some years ago, some many moons ago.
Well, I like and honor that question. How did I get to it? Because for many years, when people would ask me, how did I get it? Because when they look at this straight white guy with a Stanford MBA and wonder how I got into diversity training, it's a legitimate question because there are not many of us doing it. And my answer in the beginning was always only, even though it's authentic, it's a part of the truth, it was only, well, I started doing international business and I was so blinded by my own cultural ignorance called ethnocentrism. And I'm a 60s kid who grew up learning certain values together and co-creating together ways to ignore and deny our differences so that instead of being biased about one another, we could learn to treat each other the same.
I have a question. I have a question just to kind of, yeah? You said something, there's a word that you use, and I'm curious about your definition of that word, ethnocentrism.
Okay, ethnocentric is defined as, just like egocentric is defined as your own ego being the center, and you see out from that.
Mm-hmm.
Ethnocentric means that my own center is my own ethnic group. That by being brought up in a group of, in my case, I'm all Mayflower, English blooded, upper class, educated, founding family people, who see the world pretty much one way because of their experience. So my centrism, it isn't egotistical, it's ethnic, okay? And it comes from my ethnic group.
My tribe is the center of the universe.
Yeah, exactly. That's what ethnocentric means. My tribe is the center of at least my universe.
Mm-hmm.
And from that perspective, what most tribes all over this earth, whatever their culture or ethnic group or religion or melanin or language, right,
mm-hmm.
are guilty of is righteousness that comes from leadership and having succeeded doing something a certain way and then at their very best tending to be willing sometimes to allow others to have an equal opportunity to do it my way.
Okay.
Because my way has proven to be pretty good, so you should be lucky to learn how to do it my way. And most small-L, liberal, progressive, well-intended people don't go much beyond that. that which I call either legal compliance or behavioral compliance. So sometimes when I would do workshops and people would ask me the question, how did you get it? And my answer was, oh, international business or 60s kid or whatever. I often then get told in response to that, no, Lewis, I have friends who get it from that experience and there's something else. Try again. So my other honest answer that I didn't used to say is that I'm lucky to have recovered from not one but two near-death experiences, in the first of which I was actually spoken to in the white light and called to figure out what work I need to do for me to become whole. There's no way in which it's a gift to others. It's my own gift to myself to figure out that for me to become all I'm capable of being, I need to recognize that we are all one spirit and that my own ethnocentric bias was keeping me from being able to see your equal spirit. And that's my loss. And so my entire career was called to me so that I could do my own growing and healing and then share with others what I'm doing in case take what you can use and leave the rest in case any of it helps you do your own work.
Yeah.
And if we all do our own work together, wow, then we become much more effective working with one another, much more trustworthy, much more energetic and spiritual, in fact.
Well, that's why I see it's so interesting to kind of dovetail these concepts into the new so-called new green economy, although there were people who were doing this work, long before... The people in mass have taken it on, is because this is a kind of a revelation to the way that we're using this nation is using its energy, its actual physical resources in the form of, solar power and wave power and wind energy and how we're recycling our waste material and really beginning to value the different components of it. I mean, diversity seems to touch all of this for me, at least as I see it.
Indeed it does. In fact, one of the things I learned and try to have us all relearn every time I do a workshop is if you take a normal-shaped curve and you break it into four sections, the two sections in the center, and call the four sections, personal, then interpersonal, then organizational, then systemic, okay? And what you're talking about, all the green movement examples, are examples of finally learning to recognize the entire system, be it an organization or the globe, is just that, a system of which all the parts are different and yet are part of the integrated whole,
mm-hmm.
and therefore must relate to each other effectively, okay? So every system only works because its parts are different and relate effectively to one another. The chair you're sitting in, the computer, the phone we're on. The body we're in, the cosmos, a lake,
mm-hmm.
pick it. Ice cream cone, anything, just pick one. Every system only works because its parts are different and relate to each other effectively. The same is true about, let's say, human resource management and organizational development, employee relations, just to pick a bunch of titles in organizations, right? Or diversity director, and that
mm-hmm.
is that we need the human diversity of each of our human resources whom we've employed to relate to each other effectively for the team or the whole organization to function systemically. And yet to do so, we need not only, if you move now from the right of that normal shape curve to the left, we need not only policies and organizational policies and practices that are more effective and which change. We also need, to the left of center, interpersonal behavioral skills and communication styles, etc., that are more effective to include all of our diversity. And going far to the left, we need personal consciousness of our own isms, our own spirit, our own culture, our own skills, our own strengths, our own weaknesses, personal consciousness. And in my opinion, even though each of these four segments is just as important as the other because they are parts of a whole, if we don't start with the personal, we're not going to be as effective with the interpersonal, and thereafter the organizational, and thereafter the systemic. However, that's just the work I needed to do. I'm willing to say that whatever door we walk through, personal, interpersonal, organizational, or systemic, or label all kinds of other doors as you wish, whatever door we walk through, we move toward the center, which more and more we discover, luckily, becomes a somewhat common truth, which is we are one. We are one whole organization. We are one team of interpersonal behaviors. We are one individual, even with diverse parts within each of us. And the more quickly and deeply we get that we are one and connected with aspects of one another, the more effective we will be.
I'm curious as to how you've seen the diversity training field change since you first, you know, got in it.
Well, since I always humbly like to say I'm on my own growing edge instead of a leader, I can say that it's changed as I've changed, and I've changed as it's changed, and that is as follows. When I started it, at least, there was an international cross-cultural aspect of the movement which had one purpose, to train expatriates that go overseas, whether to drill oil or to educate themselves around the world or whatever else, how to be more effective in that vastly different culture. So those are the expatriates. That's the international cross-cultural training. And in another part of the organization, totally unrelated, it seemed, was affirmative action and equal employment opportunity. People dealing with racism and sexism and other bias in the workplace, and trying to create legal compliance with these wonderful but imperfect words of our Constitution, even, to all be who we are meant to be, and to make it safe for one another to be so. And so we lead the world in the letter and the law of legal compliance, not perfectly, but so much so that many people still come here for that. However, all of us know what it feels like when we are being treated by others only with compliance and tolerance instead of with real valuing of the differences we bring to one another, much less real spiritual energy.
Connection, right.
Connection. And it feels enormously different and less creative, you know. And so when I discovered that the international part of the organization was doing its job, and that's why I made films called Going International and was learning my own cultural consciousness, and then when I discovered that if I was that ethnocentric overseas, I must be here at home, and I discovered the AAEO department didn't really always have the same kind of sensitivity about our cultural differences. They didn't seem to care about it. They were happy with compliance. And that's when I did the valuing diversity videos, and the left hand of the organization didn't know what the right hand was doing. Whereas now, look at this change. Now we have global cross-cultural diversity experts who do recognize that even though they are all different parts of the whole, that they are connected. And it's kind of the same issue, how we relate to each other across whatever our differences are, be they global or age, race, gender related. Okay? And so that's the movement that continues to evolve, of which I've been lucky to be a part, and a learner and a teacher.
Well, what trends do you see forthcoming now?
Well, I really see two trends, and they're sort of in the two, they've always been the two trends. One, let's say, is technical, and one is energetic and spiritual or relational. So the technical part is that when I started, we were only shooting in 16-millimeter film, and there wasn't even much of that. Everybody was just doing workshops. Now, let me first say, nothing is more effective than a personal, interpersonal workshop, facilitation, and dialogue, because that leads to great consciousness. And yet, it costs too much and takes too long to hire any outside expert to come reach every employee. So, in addition to doing that, seminars, workshops, the first National Diversity Conference, all of which I love, and value, in fact, value the most in terms of the impact on any given person. I also helped create the first videos and then, or first films, 60-millimeter films, and then videos, and then CD-ROMs, and now e-learning programs their reach every employee all around the world for a cost of near nothing, fully tracked, so you know who's done what, and they all learn a little bit through this technology, through the exercises and videos, etc. So there's a huge, huge shift there, and we're now able to reach much further and spend much less, even though we should, in my opinion, never give up valuing as the most valuable the personal, interpersonal training when and where possible. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's one answer. The other answer is, since it's moved way beyond what I call behavioral compliance, even with the cross-cultural group and AAEEO group, toward what I've been a part of, learning and teaching, which is more valuing of each other's differences and connecting with each other's human spirit and human resource, it's getting even more that way. And we are beginning to feel, a lot of us, and I mean feel, that there's a movement around the world that is not being led by political leaders or corporate leaders or government leaders, you know,
mm-hmm.
or educators. It's not being led by anybody. It's coming from within each of us as we evolve and open our own spirituality, not religion, our own sense of spiritual self and one another. And that is a huge shift that is beginning to happen.
You know, I don't know how often you hear this, but it's always good to say thank you. And so I want to thank you for the work that you've done, not just for me professionally, personally, but I think that, you know, the people out there who you've made a difference with through your films and through your talks, maybe sometimes you don't ever know that, but I think that probably this thank you is coming from those people who just take for granted this idea of diversity and don't know that you were one of the early pioneers that did this. So I thank you for them.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm able now, not at an ego level, but at a spirit level, to receive that gratitude and to sort of thank you back, because we're all in this together. And the most powerful part of it, actually, isn't just the millions of people that my work might have touched, just like I am among millions touched by your work and others, and we all do that with one another. But my authentic answer is, you know what? The most powerful change at all, of all, is what has happened internally for me in my own growth, and I hope and assume you feel the same for you, and therefore the greatest gift for which I thank you back is to be seen. And not egotistically and superficially. I mean, to have the spirit and the essence seen by another and thanked with gratitude is such a compliment that I just give back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Lewis Griggs of Griggs Productions, and here today on In the Mix.